is Sefa Lufau, former Colorado Buffaloes quarterback, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KSKA.
The tide perhaps is turning for the Colorado Buffaloes, are changing, I should say. There, Angel, there we go, that's better. Brian Howell joining us now, Colorado Buffs beat writer for Buff Zone and the Boulder Daily Camera. You get a guy like Jordan Seaton, obviously it's a need, but he makes the announcement on Undisputed, and it's for millions of people to see, to witness. Not only is that a need fulfilled, but it's another beacon signaling, hey, come here to Colorado, come here to Boulder. Brian, just how big was this pickup for the Buffaloes?
Yeah, it was huge, no pun intended. I mean, the guy's 6'5 and, you know, 290 or whatever it is, so he's huge. But, I mean, the number one tackle recruit in the country at a position where you absolutely need it. And, you know, you reference Undisputed. You know, Skip Bayless says to him, Shedeur Sanders was the most sacked quarterback in the country. And Jordan cuts him off and says, that will never happen again. You know, so that's a confident young man as well. I mean, this is as close to a plug-and-play freshman offensive lineman as you could actually find.
Wow. I mean, so obviously filling the need, you know, that's the football thing. You know, Primetime went out and got him one of these guys. But again, the popularity there, you know, Brian, we've been talking the last couple of weeks. We've been seeing names. I think I had you on last time and I said, hey, should Buffs fans be concerned about seeing some of these names enter the transfer portal? And if you were concerned, I would imagine a lot of that's melting away after what we got this morning.
Yeah, I think so. You know, you lose some starters in the transfer portal. You know, Jared Christian Lichtenhan was a starting left tackle, and that never looks great, but when you replace him with the number one tackle recruit in the country, that's not too bad. And then you lose your starting center. That, to me, was one of the toughest losses. I think Van Wells is a really good player, but they've also got Hank Zielinskas, who played a little bit this year as a true freshman, and they really like him. And so, yeah, there's going to be some things that you look at and say, man, that's a tough loss. But the other thing is you look around the country and you see how many teams are losing starting quarterbacks and starting receivers and star players that, you know, the Buffs aren't losing those guys. And so they're in a fine spot, I think.
Yeah, that kind of move can change things quickly for you. And yeah, you look around the rest of the country. I don't know how you guys do it, man. Just keeping track of not only, you know, the team that you're covering, Brian, but the new Big 12 conference now, just the rest of the country with all these players. It is left and right. If we thought it was the Wild West before, it is certainly that way now.
Yeah, and it's hard to project what are the Buffs going to look like in the Big 12 next year, because not only are they changing, but so is the Big 12. And you look at, I would have said one of the top quarterbacks coming into the Big 12 next year was Will Howard at Kansas State. Well, he's now in the transfer portal. And you see, I saw somewhere today, he's favored to maybe wind up at USC. So, you know, the amount of star players and quarterbacks is insane. So it's hard to project where the Buffs are going to be. I think you look at them going into next year and you say, well, look, they've got stability at head coach. They know their quarterback's going to be back. And they know that they've got one of the best players in the country in Travis Hunter. Those guys are not going in the portal. They're probably starting off better than a lot of teams.
Brian Howell joining us from Buff Zone, talking about this, the big get for the Colorado Buffalo. So that's big. What else is on the horizon? Like, are you hearing any other thoughts on potential big names, big star guys coming to the Buffs?
Yeah, there's a lot of rumor of guys that, you know, are already committed somewhere that are considered, you know, that there's talk that Colorado's in on them, that they might flip some guys, you know, some 4- and 5-star guys that have been committed to, you know, an Oregon or, you know, places like that. But, you know, there's, I don't know, what is it, 13 days or whatever before signing day. That's a lot of time to work those phones and work on those kids and get them to flip. And, you know, if CU can do that, they did that last year, and that was when they hit the ground running as a staff. I think they can do it this year, too. And if they get a couple more of those guys, all of a sudden this class looks really impressive.
Talk to us about some of the changes that on these coaches' side of things too, Brian. You know, the position coaches and everything. Obviously, Sean Lewis was a big one we talked about now with San Diego State as their head coach. But there's going to certainly be some new faces on the coaching side coming to this program and some old faces leaving.
Yeah, it's really interesting to see, you know, how it's coming together. You know, they haven't really said officially what's going to happen with offensive coordinator, but in two different interviews this week, Deion Sanders has been asked about if Pat Shurmur is going to remain in that spot, and his answer both times has been most likely. So that's a probably, but not a sure thing, you know, 100% endorsement. So if it's him, that's interesting. I know Broncos fans are scarred by his 2 years here, but and then you bring in a guy like Phil Loadholt is the offensive line coach that played 7 years for the Vikings and was a good player. He was an All-American at Oklahoma, but he hasn't been a full-time on-the-field coach. And so there's some interesting hires they've got here, but they're bringing in experience. They're bringing in guys they know.
Yeah, and the Pat Shurmur thing is interesting, too, because if Shurmur is going to be the guy, it is kind of weird, you know, perhaps strange how primetime's saying, yeah, more than likely, not necessarily a ringing endorsement if you're Pat Shurmur.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, I mean, Shurmur, to me, you know, came here probably, you know, knowing that this was kind of I just need a job at this point. You know, he had been out of football last year, and he said that, you know, he took that time off because he had some family stuff to take care of, and there was some medical things going on with people and family, I believe, and he's still living in the area, so this was an opportunity to really get back in the game. I'm not sure he anticipated he was going to be the play caller by the end of the year, and so I'm sure part of that might be Pat Shurmur trying to figure out, do I want to stay in this role, or do I want to get back in the NFL? So that could be part of it. So I'm curious to see what they actually do when they actually decide and settle on and announce this is what our offensive coordinator is going to be.
Yeah, that's going to be so fascinating to see how that one ends up working out. But then again, Brian, as you know better than most, everything surrounding primetime and this Buffs team nowadays is over the top fascinating.
Yeah, and it's unconventional sometimes too. You know, I mean, just the fact that we're sitting here talking about Pat Shurmur as the OC is unconventional. You know, the fact that Sean Lewis did not get past 8 games as a play caller here when he was such a highly touted, you know, coach. I mean, you think about it, 13, 14 months ago, how many head coaching candidate lists was Sean Lewis on? And you get him as the offensive coordinator, then eight games in, take away those play calling duties. So there's a lot of unconvention to Deion Sanders, but I will say a lot of his moves have worked. And, you know, people can point to the 4-8 record, but they were so much better this year. And a lot of it is because of the moves that he made and the decisions he made.
Well, the Sean Lewis move looked like a genius move at first. I mean, the first 4 or 5 weeks, Brian, that was an interesting thing how that all went down. But what I've been tracking, you know, I listened to another interview yesterday with Sean, is he's not giving anybody anything. He's saying all the right things. He's not saying anything negative, really, unless I'm missing something about his time in Colorado.
Yeah, and I think that's smart. And it doesn't surprise me the little bit that we got to know Sean Lewis. And, you know, I have had great relationships with previous coordinators, and I barely knew Sean. But, you know, it doesn't surprise me with him. It wouldn't be a good look if he was saying those things on the way out the door. And, you know, hey, he's moved on, and he's got a good gig now. And I don't think it does him any good to throw Coach Prime under the bus. And, you know, frankly, probably the way he handled this team in the first 8 weeks of the season helped him be on some coaching lists where he could get that San Diego State job. And so I think that he's probably in a better spot right now, and he's just thankful for that.
Well, yeah, what's actually interesting about it, because I think he even mentioned he was on the Jim Rome show, and he said, you know, if I hadn't taken that job with Colorado, we wouldn't be talking now. I wouldn't be the head coach of San Diego State because he left the Kent State situation. So I guess if you're Sean Lewis, this kind of worked out. San Diego State being in the Mountain West, not a bad gig.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, when he says that, he could have stayed the head coach at Kent State and maybe got another job. But his quarterback was Colin Schley, who jumped in the portal last year and went to UCLA. Maybe Colin does that if Sean's still there in this era. And maybe, I mean, Kent State was terrible this year. And maybe Kent State would have taken a step back and he's a less attractive of a candidate. And so, being the OC at a Power 5 and the most notable the most visible Power Five or one of the most visible Power Fives in the country, could not have hurt, you know. And there was a lot of exposure to him. And so I think that I would imagine that San Diego State and other places that looked at him took into account that he's in an unusual spot, you know, and there's probably no other coach in the country that takes his play calling duties away. We'll give him a little bit of a pass on that.
Yeah, that one is another very interesting story that's just kind of part of Primetime's history, his quick history so far with the Colorado Buffaloes. Brian, what are you working on, man, that we could check out in the next couple of days at Buff Zone?
Trying to stay sane with all the recruiting and moves. Yeah. You know, that's the main thing. But, you know, on top of that, women's basketball, you know, I covered this team, and they're the number 8 team in the country, and they've got a long layoff. They don't play until the 21st, but be working on some women's basketball stories as well.
Yeah, I love it, man. Keep up the great work. Yeah, I'm glad, you know, somebody had said, hey, Brady, you're not really a great journalist. I'm like, dude, I'm not a journalist. I'm a radio host. Brian Howell's a journalist. He's a guy digging up stories and getting you all that information. So not many better than what you do, my friend.
Well, I appreciate it. Sometimes I wish I was just a radio host.
Oh, no, I'm happy where I am. I could not do what you do, my friend.
Well, I appreciate it. I couldn't do what you do. I did it a couple times for you, and I'm glad I don't do it full time. So there's places for both of us. Right?
We got to get you back in. We got to get you into the new studio at some point, Brian. We would love to have you take over a Brian Howell takeover, a Howell show instead of the whole show. How about that?
That'd be awesome.
All right, man. Appreciate you as always. We'll catch up with you soon.
All right. Thanks.
Yeah, Brian Howell's filled in for me a few times. And he's like, dude, I liked it. It was fun, but I don't want to do that all the time. I don't want to just talk into a microphone for 3 hours. There are several types of media forms, and this is where I live. This is it, radio. We take topics of the day, we analyze them, we talk about them, we create our own little discussions. But yes, to be fair, it's based off of the written word, the stuff that we're seeing and following, the newspapers, the Twitter feeds, what's going on. And sometimes players are just posting their news now and we can talk about it. So that's our job. Our job is to discuss, to lay it out for you, to play it out, I guess. Kevin and Brian's job, like their job is to lay it out. We play it out on the air every day.
Oh, it's such a grind for you. You decided to do another hour.
3 hours, man.
2 hours.
11 to 2 every single day, you know, rocking and rolling, talking, whatever. It might be CSU. It might be Jay Norvell. It could be Primetime, Sean Lewis, Nuggets, Broncos. You never know. You never know where we're going to go. Let's read some texts. Texter here from the 405. If Prime leaves, you wonder if CU will need 90 new players next year. If he leaves, there's a lot of guys that are leaving. Yeah.
Yeah.
Unless they already transferred, which would suck for them.
I feel like he would let them know, like, hey, guys, I'm out of here, so go ahead and get the portal ready.
But they've already transferred, so they can't.
Graduate in 3 years.
That
and then
is
leave.
The tough part about this job, especially with Primetime, is you're convincing everybody to come here because of you. You more so than ever. Now, obviously, in the world of recruiting, Angel, and transfer portal stuff, they are committing to the head coach maybe first, I guess. I don't know. Maybe it depends. Are they committing to Alabama or Nick Saban? The legend of Alabama, or is it Nick Saban? Or is it a mix?
I think it's a bit of both because, you know, Bama had a legacy before Saban got there, and I think Saban's biggest thing is, hey, look how many guys in the NFL I have.
Yeah.
If you want to go to the NFL, you come here.
So, like,
CU, I think it's
Primetime.
It's more prime.
Yeah.
Say CU doesn't have a history of good football, but the last 10 years or so haven't been great, and now you're getting all this flash and shininess from Deion that draws these kids in.
Well, you're not getting players like from the South that are looking at CU as a premier place to go play football. And if you grew up here, you were born and raised here, yeah, CU's a dream come true.
But you're not getting an offer from him.
No, just ask Henry Blackburn. How about the surrounding states? Yeah, CU's up there, but you start getting into the South and you start talking about these guys that's all they do. Well, they just got a guy like that, but he came here because of Primetime. Zero chance he'd be a Colorado Buffalo if it wasn't for Deion Sanders. Same with Travis Hunter, and obviously for Shador and Shiloh Sanders, obviously. But yeah, that's the tough part. Is Primetime probably bigger than most as far as getting guys to commit to him? So when he leaves, it's like the ultimate betrayal, no question. Let's see. Texter here. Plus, you won't get as much money at CU now since the sky's ahead. Oh, you're talking about the offensive tackle stuff still. Stickman, CU is also adding another former NFL player as their new offensive line coach, according to Brian Howell. They're getting after it, man. No doubt. And that is Phil, what is it? Phil Loadhold. He's a Colorado guy, actually. Fountain. So he's going to be the offensive line coach coming in for the Buffs. Cool. I don't know. I mean, local guy. He attended Fountain Middle School and Fountain Fort Carson High School in Fountain, Colorado. He was a two-way lineman. He was a team captain. He went on to play in the NFL. He played for Oklahoma. He was drafted in 2009. Played for the Minnesota Vikings, and he tore his Achilles tendon in 2015, and he missed the entire 2015 season, and then that was kind of it. He announced his retirement about 6 months after that. Is this his first? This is his first coaching job, and he's a jump right into it. Hey, offensive line coach, not like an assistant or anything. Hey, it worked out for Ed McCaffrey. 36 minutes after the hour. Let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.